It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the Fantasy Football Champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Green, throwing, back in the end zone, he can grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the Fantasy Football Champs.
Go!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. We are live for the next 2 hours breaking down the AFC and NFC championship games. Sunday is going to be a great day of NFL action. I'm Bill Enright from FFChamps.com. With me, as always, is Anthony Grace. Our producer today is Kevin Collins. Gentlemen, we got some very exciting games this weekend. Only four teams left, two games, one trophy, and then we'll be talking about Super Bowl 49 in Arizona, but it all starts this weekend with the two championship games. I agree with you. It was always in the early 90s when the Cowboys and the 49ers were in the NFC Championship games where you kind of always figured, well, that was really the Super Bowl. I remember a couple times the Chargers made the Super Bowl. I think the Steelers did 1 year, but it was always a blowout. And the winner of the NFC Championship game would always kind of be the heavy favorite heading into the Super Bowl. Everyone really knew it would take an upset for either of those teams to lose the Super Bowl. Not the case anymore, and it hasn't been the case for the last couple of years. Go back to last year. You had the Seahawks and the Niners, Broncos, Patriots. Any one of those four teams could have been the Super Bowl champions. Year before that, when the Ravens won, also a really good AFC-NFC championship matchup. So lately, the NFL, the teams that are playing in these games, certainly quality teams. We haven't seen any upsets this year. I guess you could say the Colts over the Broncos, but if I had to ask you in the beginning of the year, Ant, name me five teams that are contenders in the AFC, I think you would have thrown the Colts in there, right? If I were to ask you to name me five teams from the AFC to make the Super Bowl or to make the AFC Championship, I'm guessing you would have went with Broncos, Patriots, maybe the Bengals. Right. That's four. Okay. Right. So, again, not necessarily a surprise to see the Patriots won and the Colts. Before you saw them in action this year, you probably could have said, you know, here's a handful of teams. Two of them are going to make it. And a kind of a similar situation with the NFC teams, right? So the Packers, we saw them make the playoffs after their Super Bowl run every year. And the Seahawks were dominant in their postseason run last year. struggled. I don't want to say struggled because they have very few losses this year, but didn't look as dominant earlier in the season, but they've really come on strong, I'd say, the last six or seven games. Maybe you throw out a team like the San Francisco 49ers. Maybe you throw out a team like, I don't even know. I didn't think the Dallas Cowboys would have gotten this far. I think the NFC was a little, I didn't think the Arizona Cardinals would have had one of the best records in the league. So for the Packers and the Seahawks to be here, that really certainly is not a surprise as well.
Beat them to get to the Super Bowl. So those are two teams that kind of shocked me not doing well. But again, that whole division was down. So they're going to bounce back next year. Maybe Philadelphia, they had a lot of talk. They taken the next step with Chip Kelly and such an innovative offense. So again, like you said, the fact that it comes down to these final four teams, nobody at all should be shocked. I think the NFC, the Packers and the Seahawks, is less shocking than the Colts getting there. I mean, they were two of the favorite teams going into the season, and they both made it there, even with injuries. Like you said, even with the Seahawks starting off slower than normal, they finished strong, and the Packers same way. So we're in for exciting games, definitely.
All right, so we do have two excellent matchups this weekend. If you want to give us a call, tell us about your feelings, tell us about your predictions, feel free to do that, 855-728-7500. Web radio at patriots.com is our email. We got a lot to get to today. We're going to, of course, preview the AFC and NFC championship games, Packers, Seahawks, Patriots, and Colts, highlight the game from both a fantasy angle and an X's and O's standpoint as well. We do it all here on the Fantasy Football Champs. We're going to give you some mind-blowing stats all relating to championship weekend. I was looking at this earlier today. It's really, really some fun stuff. And it's all courtesy of NFL.com. We'll get into that a little bit later as well. We'll highlight some of the great contests that are going on at DraftKings this weekend for both of the championship games. Only four teams, limited player pool, but obviously an opportunity to make some serious money playing fantasy football at DraftKings. And we'll tell you the players that we like and the players that we don't like. And plus, when it comes down to it, we'll make our predictions at the end of the show and tell you who will advance to Super Bowl 49. Very exciting show, AFC NFC Championship edition of the Fantasy Football Champs, and we are really pumped up about it.
The only show that gets more exciting than this is Super Bowl week, waiting for that Super Bowl to come through, and that's a 2-week process, man. That definitely gives you a lot to talk about. So championship week, man, I love it. It's just, you know, last week was, like we said, one of the best weeks in sports of the year with the four matchups we had. But, it, you know, even though it's less games this week, it's still just as beefy. We're going to love everything, and we're going to be tuned in, glued to the TV every single second, unless something weird happens that we have a blowout. And honestly, I can't see anything like that happening this weekend. I think we're going to have two close games and excitement all the way from start to finish in both.
Let's get to some of the latest news around the NFL. Two of the headlines involve the Green Bay Packers star players. Eddie Lacy, their running back, was added to the injury report with a knee injury, and that was kind of a shock because Lacy wasn't dealing with any knee problems before this happened. So Mike McCarthy pulling Lacy from practice, getting in a limited session there. I guess it's a little bit cause for concern that, you know, their star running back all of a sudden pops up on the injury report out of nowhere.
Yeah, it definitely a little bit odd, maybe a little bit concerned to it. Maybe he's just trying to keep him a little bit fresh. I know he had that whole asthma situation last week, Eddie Lacy did. So I'm not going to read too much into it right now, but it's definitely something that we need to keep an eye on because, again, we don't know the whole situation. Hopefully it's just a precautionary measure.
Aaron Rodgers still limited with that calf injury. He was limited in practice last week, limited in practice this week. But right now, Rodgers and the Packers do say that he is feeling better. His calf is still improving, but or still has room to improve, but he is feeling better compared to this time last week.
Yeah, and the fact that he got through the whole game last week looked, you know, pretty much Aaron Rodgers-like the entire time. Obviously, he's hurting. He's not 100%, but he played well enough, and I think going into this weekend, like you said, he's going to be a little bit more healed, feel a little fresher, so that's definitely a good sign, and that's another thing that's going to make this game a lot more competitive and a lot more exciting.
Vontae Davis, one of the top cornerbacks in the league, he returned to practice for the Colts, and that is probably bad news for Tom Brady and the Patriots' passing attack, because Davis, again, one of the best cornerbacks in the league, he can cover a guy like Gronk or can cover a guy like Edelman. He was all over the Broncos' receivers last week, really gave them a tough time, and we saw them struggle, obviously.
Yeah, if Vontae Davis, for some reason, wasn't able to play or practice, then you got a lot more concern if you're an Indianapolis Colts fan, because he is the one piece on that defense that really is a standout stud type player. And like you said, he can cover anybody, and he might be someone that needs to get on Gronk a little bit this weekend, because Gronk's the biggest passing weapon that offense. So seeing Vontae Davis on Gronkowski could be very interesting to watch.
All right, time for some the coaching updates, because we have a lot of vacancies, a lot of hires as defensive offensive coordinators. We're broadcasting live here on Patriots.com, Cardale Jones from Ohio State, their quarterback that took them to the national championship game, has decided to return to Ohio State. So that's some breaking news for you quickly. It's about 4:15 Eastern Standard Time. I believe he had a press conference to announce that he was going to return to Ohio State. So a lot of people out there thought that he would declare for the NFL draft, projected as a third-rounder despite only playing in three games.
Yeah.
But Twitter is absolutely going crazy right now with the Cardale Jones news that he will return to Ohio State. I don't want to get away from the NFL, but quickly, I don't know if that move makes a lot of sense, because they still got Braxton Miller and the other quarterback that was hurt after Miller. So I don't know what Cardale Jones is thinking.
Yeah, in some ways I understand it might be better for him to get some experience and get a little bit more under his belt. But when you have an opportunity like this, I mean, you didn't play a lot and guys are already talking about drafting you in the third round after playing three games. That's unreal. It's an opportunity I think you have to take. So like you said, you got Braxton Miller, the other quarterback.
JT Barrett.
Barry, yeah, ahead of him as well. So those guys come back healthy next year, you're still looking at, you know, maybe a fight for starting quarterback in the preseason. But if Jones doesn't get it, then you know, he's right back where he started this year, and he's gonna drop in draft stock come 2016.
It's just interesting that I think maybe you have a press conference to say you're going to the NFL draft.
Yeah, that's pretty odd.
Who has a press conference that says I'm just gonna stay in school?
I'm going back to Kinko's part time, everybody. Thank
yeah,
you.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? This is a kid that a couple years ago tweeted, I didn't come to school to play class. I came to school to play football, and now he has decided to stay in school. So that's kind of an interesting change of direction for him, to stay in school and continue to play class while he is playing football.
Yeah, unless for some reason, somehow he knows something we don't, and he's going to be the star of that team next year, and he feels confident that he can improve on what he's shown in three games, then he maybe jumps into the first round, and maybe he looks smart by going back to school for a year. But he's on the fence right now. If he gets a start and plays like he did these three games, he's definitely going to jump up in the draft. If for some reason he doesn't get a chance to start or he falls off and teams figure him out, he really just hurt himself.
He was smart in the fact that one of the quotes from him from his press conference was, the NFL, after three games, was really out of the question. And that probably is the main thing that everyone should take away from him returning back to Ohio State. He's only played in three games.
And that's what I'm saying.
If your team drafted him in the second or third round and he ends up being a complete just waste of a pick, you'd throw, you know, there'd be riots.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You can't take a guy after just three games. So I guess it's a good move by him.
Yeah, I think it's the smartest thing he could have done overall for himself, for his future. But like I said, if he doesn't get a chance to play, that's really going to hurt him. But again, he could transfer there. I mean, there's a lot of options. So even if he doesn't play at Ohio State again, he has options out there. So I think it's smart. Hopefully improve his draft stock. And, look, it's just another year of us getting to watch an exciting player in college football.
Another quote, I'm not ready. Being a first-round pick means nothing without my education. Again, this is a kid that tweeted a couple years ago, I don't come to Ohio State to play school. I came to Ohio State to play football. We shouldn't have to go to class. So someone clearly got into his ear, and he really
saying all the right things, I guess. Yeah.
All right, so back to the NFL news. Coaching tracker, how about this? New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills have their head coaches. We mentioned on Tuesday that Rex Ryan will be coaching the Buffalo Bills. His former team still had a coaching vacancy, but they hired another defensive-minded head coach, Todd Bowles, who was the defensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals this year, took the job with the New York Jets.
Yeah, like I said, another defensive-minded coach. I have no problem with that. I like Todd Bowles. He definitely helped improve that Arizona Cardinals defense. Got them to basically, I don't know, if they're not elite, they're right on the cusp of being an elite defense the last couple of years when Todd Bowles was there. Had a lot of nice pieces to work with. I don't know if he has the same firepower on his defense in New York. That front's definitely a little bit better, but I like the hire. I do like it. I like Todd Bowles. I think he's going to bring something to that table. As long as he gets the right offensive coordinator to do the things he wants to do on offense and basically say, look, I'm going to give you the reins. I need someone to focus on this offense, make them better. I'll keep the defensive part of it. I think the New York Jets can improve. They have some pieces there that can go in the right direction for them.
Now, the Cardinals had a ton of injuries on their defense this year. So for him to really do such a good job of getting them to that level with the players that he had this year with a lot of backups in, it was really impressive.
Extremely impressive. Very, very impressive. Like I said, they had a lot of injuries, a lot of pieces moving around, and it's like they didn't miss a beat on their defense this year compared to last year. So Todd Bowles obviously knows what he's doing. It's going to be interesting to see how he works that with the Jets, but it's also going to be interesting to see when the Cardinals do name their next defensive coordinator to replace Bowles, what we're going to get from this Cardinals defense next year. Does it take a hit and get a little bit worse, at least in fantasy perspective? I guess we're going to have to find out. I mean, losing a guy like Todd Bowles is definitely going to be hard for them.
All right, so the New York Jets have their head coach. The Buffalo Bills have their head coach as well. The Bills also hired offensive coordinator Greg Roman, who spent the last couple of years with the 49ers. I'm not sure how that relationship between him and Rex Ryan, I don't know if they've coached together before, but I thought that was an interesting hire because the Niners offense was pretty bad the last couple of years. I don't know why Greg Roman was the first one to get a crack at the Bills job. 49ers, speaking of them, promoted their defensive line coach to their head coach, Jim Tomasula.
Tom Sula,
looking for their offensive coordinator. Again, Greg Roman is now with the Bills, but Tom Sula was the defensive line coach. He is now the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. And listen, you're going to hear me say this a lot in next season. The Niners' chances, it's over. That little run they had, it's over now. Their players are getting older. They're under a new, entirely new system. They're going to have to learn an entirely new offense. You only get a few years, 4 or 5 years. And if you don't get a title in that window, there's not many other chances to make it happen. Brady, Belichick, the Patriots, they're the exception. The rare, rare, rare exception. So for the fact that, you know, the Niners had, what, 3 straight NFC championships with 1 Super Bowl appearance?
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore.
No.
They're going to have to go through a little bit of a down period, I think.
It's going to happen, and the way the NFL's set up now, you're going to have to reload, rebuild. You know, free agency lets you do a couple things. Maybe they can make some moves there, but like you said, their window is basically closed. They have some younger pieces in place maybe, but Frank Gore, older, going to be a free agent. Michael Crabtree, also a free agent this year. So not only do they not have an offensive coordinator or a lot of great talent on their offense, the couple pieces of talent that they did have or could have used are basically moving on probably. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in San Francisco this offseason.
A couple more hires for offensive and defensive coordinators. The Raiders hired Jack Del Rio, formerly of the Broncos, who was their defensive coordinator the last couple of years. So the Raiders have a new head coach. They didn't go with the interim head coach, Tony Sperano. Only 3 teams do not have a head coach right now. Vacancies for the Denver Broncos. Vacancy for the Atlanta Falcons. Vacancy for the Chicago Bears. All pretty good franchises. All certainly very talented in terms of offensive and defensive stars. Even the Bears have defensive stars on their team. So it's interesting to see these three squads not have a head coach.
Yeah, and seeing teams like this not have a head coach just kind of makes me feel like they're waiting for some of these coordinators that are in the Final Four right now. A lot of these coordinators getting talked about and potentially moving around. So we'll see what happens, obviously. But like you said, a lot of good jobs. Chicago, history and a great division and a lot of rivalry and a lot of pieces in place. Atlanta, the offense is definitely in place. They just got to beef up that defense. And Denver, that's the wild card. We don't know what's going to happen with Peyton Manning. Like we said, the Thomases are both free agents next year. So going to Denver might be the most worrisome of the three positions open, I guess, I would say right now.
Which one do you think is?
I think Denver. There's a lot we don't know there. Like I said, Peyton Manning, is he coming back to play? If he does, he's not the same Peyton Manning. They have to have a different kind of game plan with him, I think. Julius Thomas, Demaryius Thomas, two big free agents. So who knows what they get out of them. There's going to be a lot of those guys in the C.J. Anderson and Monty Ball coming back and Ronnie Hillman. So you got a lot of guys in the backfield to work around. I think Atlanta's offense is a little bit more stable right now. I think the Bears' offense is more stable, and I think the Bears have a few more pieces defensively than the Broncos, even though their defense isn't great. If they get the right coach in there, it could be better. So I think the Broncos are the biggest question mark of a job opening.
Let me ask you this. Even if Peyton does come back, he's not playing for four more years, not playing for three more years.
Maybe one.
Maybe just this is it.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if he does come back, that might make a little more pressure on the head coach, whoever's taking over that job, because now you have to.
It's win or go home at that point.
What's that?
It's win or go home at that point with Peyton Manning. If he comes back, you just got to think to yourself, this is the last chance I get. If we don't win it, then that's it. And then, like you said, as a head coach, you know, what do I do? Osweiler, do I draft a quarter? I mean, there's a lot of questions, a lot of things that have to happen. So it's going to be an interesting situation in Denver. That's the one I'm watching the closest, I think.
Well, what I was just going to say was that even if Peyton does come back for just 1 year, this coach will have his work cut out for him, but I'm sure they're not going to hire anyone that Peyton doesn't already know.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not like, you know, you can just, Peyton Manning, yeah, I'm your head coach now. It doesn't work like that with that caliber of a player.
Exactly.
It's stressful to go into a new situation when Peyton Manning is the quarterback and really knowing that he's only going to be there for a year anyway. It's like you have to kiss his ass for a year. I'm not saying kiss his ass, but you know what I mean. You have to.
It's not
play
some
cool
random,
for a year,
yeah,
knowing that it's only going to be a 1 year thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not some guy that you could say, all right, I'll watch him for a year. If I don't like him, I could get rid of him.
Right.
I don't have. No. It's Peyton Manning. It's an elite quarterback. It's a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's one of the best to ever play the game. So even though he's on the downslide, even though he's in the twilight of his career, it's still Peyton Manning. You can't disagree, because who knows? Maybe he comes out and does throw for 50 touchdowns again. Not like it's impossible for him to do.
Will another head coach get fired or quit before training camp?
That's a good question. I don't think
there
so.
Always is one.
But, yeah, there's always that random wild card.
Right, right.
Oddball firing out there.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the Broncos this year. Maybe it just happened early. I don't know. Just trying to run through all the teams in my head right now. I mean, a lot of these guys, even on bad teams, they're newer coaches trying to build something. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the teams that are left in the playoffs aren't getting rid of their coaches. And most of the teams that made the playoffs this year probably aren't going to get rid of their coaches either. So I'm going to say no. I don't think it does happen this year. But I wouldn't be shocked if it does.
It might happen with the Bengals. You never know. Like, Marvin Lewis, I think, stormed out 1 year and said he quit, and then, like, he was there, like, 5 hours later. Could be the Dolphins. They still might have some indecision about Joe Philbin.
St. Louis, maybe? They're just kind of stuck in. I mean, I like Jeff Fisher, but they're kind of just stuck in neutral. They always have that 7-9 kind of record every single year and make a little bit of a run and just can't get over the hump, so maybe he's a guy. I don't know.
Yeah, like I can't say that any of the coaches that got hired last year will only have lasted a year. So Redskins, Browns, Bucks, I'm pretty Texans. Sure all those guys are safe. Who else?
Bill O'Brien in Houston.
Oh, yeah, Texans, right. Texans. I'm pretty sure all those guys are safe.
Yeah, Wisenhunt, and I believe in he got hired last year by the Tennessee Titans. So, like I said, a lot of those guys are still building their programs. And outside of Cleveland, most teams don't cut their coaches after a year. So they got to give them a chance to build what they want to build and build up their vision.
All right, we are just getting started here on the Fantasy Football Champs. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, it's money-making time for the AFC and NFC Championships. We have your DraftKings strategy all coming up next. Fantasy Football Champs on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive.
touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in with your questions at 855-PATS-500 or email the champs at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Bill and Anthony.
All right, welcome back, Fantasy Football Champs. AFC, NFC Championship Preview Show. And we got a lot of action going on at DraftKings this weekend. There is $700,000 prize pool. Costs just $20 to enter. I'll be definitely throwing in a one or two, maybe three lineups in that one. But there's, again, Anthony, we say it every week, there is a price and an entry fee for everybody, whether you want to play for, you know, 25 cents, a dollar, $2, $3, $5, $10, $5,000. You can certainly find something to your liking over at DraftKings. But again, I tend to go for some big contest when it's only four teams left, because you really have to find that right breakout player. Last week I said it was Ronnie Hillman. Turns out it was Jermaine Kearse from Seattle. So you find that breakout player and you get rewarded.
Oh, yeah. And like we said last week, once you get down to these nitty-gritty playoff games where you got eight teams, now we got four teams, it all comes down to that one X-factor player who might end up having a big game that usually doesn't show up and produce those kind of numbers. You know, Davante Adams last week for the Packers as opposed to Jordy Nelson. I mean, little things like that, you just have no idea, and this is the time to really take a chance on one of these guys, because not only do you have to, someone's going to win and someone's going to have, like you said, a Jermaine Kearse, a Davante Adams, a Ronnie Hillman type player on their team.
And you know what? You have to pick the right defense too. Only four defenses. So you have a 1-in-4 shot, 25% chance, but you have to pick the right one.
Defense is key. It shows in the regular season that it does. It can make a lot of difference. A lot of times these big contest guys who win, you look at their defense and they have a defense that scores them 12, 15, 20 points. And this week, it's probably the biggest week of the year as far as picking a defense, because like you said, four defenses, odds are all of them aren't going to get burned. Maybe one of them has a better game than the rest, but it's really who maybe gets a return touchdown. Does Julian Edelman take one back for the Patriots, or does Richard Sherman or a Cam Chancellor have a pick six again? Who knows? But like you said, one of these defenses is going to get hot this week and then carry someone to a victory.
All right, let's hop over to the phone lines. 855-728-7500 is our phone number. Eric in California wants to talk about Seattle's wide receivers. Hey, Eric.
Hi, you hit the nail on the head. I'm looking for a sleeper on wide receivers, and obviously Kearse is the name was Davante Adams, but how many times have those guys in their entire career ever put together two games back-to-back that were good?
Well, Davante Adams is a rookie, so back-to-back
right.
in his entire career
this year,
is tough.
This year, when I looked at his stats, they were mostly 1 or 2 points, and I'm looking elsewhere, in other words, and I'm looking for help. Maybe prayer would be my answer, but I'm hoping that you might have an answer as to what other names, other than the two that everybody, I'm sure, is going to line up behind, either Adams or Kurse. And I want to look in another direction. Any suggestions, say Seattle or New England, who would be obscure? Is the tight end from New England right going to even play?
All right, so we're kind of jumping all over the place here. So let's take it one step at a time. Start off with the wide receiver position. Anthony, I think if you want to give your suggestion first, I think I have someone in mind. I'm going to say either Dante Moncrief or Hakeem Nicks.
Hakeem Nicks was my guy, so I'm totally on board with that. I think Hakeem Nicks is a good pickup this week. Doesn't have much history with the New England Patriots. I think he's only been in 2 games against them in his career, but one game this year had a touchdown against them, and the other game, the Super Bowl a couple of years back when he was playing with the Giants, had 10 grabs for 109 yards. So I know it's a different defense for New England, but I think if someone on the Colts could be a sneaky play, I think Hakeem Nicks could be that guy this weekend.
I'm trying to think. Last year when the Colts and the Patriots kicked off against each other, was it Levon Brazil that had a big game?
He definitely had a little playoff run last year, and that's kind of what got us to know his name. I know he had a couple touchdowns in that comeback against the Chiefs.
Two catches, 73 yards, and 2 touchdowns last year against the Patriots. T.Y. Hilton, good game, 4 catches, 103 yards. But it was Levon Brazil that had those 2 big touchdown grabs. So that's what you have to hit on this year. Could that be Dante Moncrief with the Colts maybe playing in catch-up mode early on? I think it could be. Could it be Hakeem Nicks? Yes, it could be. If I had the surefire answer, I'd already be a millionaire. We're giving you our best estimated educated guesses here. It could be one of those players. Maybe you want to try to use both of them. Now, last week we saw Doug Baldwin hit Jermaine Kurse on a really – what was it, a 67-yard touchdown. This weekend, it could be Ricardo Lockett, or it could be Jared Boykin comes out of nowhere. But I do know that Davante Adams may be the sacrificial lamb here for the Green Bay Packers, and we'll get into this a little bit more during our preview of this game. But remember back to week 1, it was Jared Boykin who was the number three wide receiver for the Packers at that time, and he really exclusively played on the Richard Sherman side of the field. So they just kind of sacrificed Jared Boykin that entire game. This way, Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson were able to run free. It didn't really work out the way they planned, but that's why I wouldn't really go with Davante Adams this week. Now, you mentioned tight end. All right, so tight end. You know, I thought Tim Wright might be a player that could have a good game last week, but instead it was Hooman. Michael Hooman wanted I mean,
a lot of vowels in his last name. Yeah, and he did. There's always that one guy. I think Tim Wright could be that guy this week. When he catches passes, he catches touchdowns, basically. So that's always a good sign if you're taking a chance on someone in that flex position or building up everywhere else. I think another guy that's intriguing to me is Andrew Quarles. He gets in the end zone every once in a while, too. And the Seattle Seahawks, the one, I guess you could say, Achilles heel on their defense is they're not really too great against the tight end. So Andrew Quarles might be a decent pickup again with Aaron Rodgers not 100%. Maybe he looks for a safety blank a little bit more with great cornerbacks clamping down on Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb.
How's all that sound, Eric?
Those are some good names. I like that.
All right. Happy to help you. What are you playing? Are you playing on DraftKings?
Oh, yeah, I'm going on DraftKings to draft.
All right, good luck. Have fun.
Good luck, Eric.
Let's jump over to Josh, who's in Maine. Hey, Josh.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Not bad. What's on your mind?
Nothing. I was just calling to say thank you. I haven't had a chance to call. Yeah, you know you guys are talking about daily for this weekend, but both my championships were in week 17. I haven't had a chance to call you guys and thank you, but I won both of them.
Nice.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was awesome. I had a couple of close buddies in both leagues, went up against them in the championship, and it came down to Antonio's last touchdown, and I took them both.
There we go, man. That's awesome to hear. I mean, hey, it took you a little bit longer to get in, but it's great that we can talk a little bit of fantasy anytime, especially during the playoffs. You know, we don't have as much fantasy time, so getting a call like this is great.
Yeah, I know I'm a little late, but I was really excited to call you guys because you coach me, you help me out a lot. The Josh Gordon thing kind of blew up, but I plugged Eddie Royal in one league, and he was able to give me 10 points. So that was good, but it was basically Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Jeremy Hill won me the championship.
Very nice, Josh. Congratulations, and we'll look forward to helping you out next year.
Yeah, I'll definitely be there. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Awesome.
Take care.
Congrats, man.
Playoffs. All right, let's jump back into some of these DraftKings players for this weekend. Now, you do have the option of taking a Matt Flynn or a Matt Hasselbeck for $5,000, cheapest quarterbacks, but I don't suggest doing that.
I probably wouldn't either.
I don't think they're going to get any playing time.
Yeah, I I wouldn't feel too comfortable. I mean, if I'm chancing a backup quarterback, I guess it'd be Matt Flynn just because Aaron Rodgers is injured and playing against the best defense. But you're spending money on Brady, Luck, Wilson, Rodgers. One of those four is definitely getting your money.
Four defenses, four quarterbacks in for this week. Brady's the most expensive at $8,500. Aaron Rodgers the cheapest, $7,800, and that probably because he's going up against the number one passing defense in the league, the Legion of Boom. We saw what they did to Cam Newton last week. They're playing very aggressive, and they're getting a lot of turnovers, and they're scoring off these turnovers. Russell Wilson, not a bad price, $8,000. And then Andrew Luck is $8,200.
Yeah, they're all, like I said, they're all relatively close this week, $8,500 to $7,800. So that's a $700 gap between Rodgers and Tom Brady. So I think you can work any of these four quarterbacks into your lineup. I think Russell Wilson might be my favorite this weekend. Being at home, I think he has the running ability. He's got the passing ability that he's shown last week, and I just think he has the best matchup as far as defenses go. Green Bay's defense is probably the worst out of the last remaining four. If you'd ask me, Indy's defense doesn't impress me, but they've been playing well of late, so that having a hot hand carries over a little bit, I think.
Russell Wilson scored 18 fantasy points in Week 1 when they played against the Green Bay Packers. Andrew Luck scored 23 points back in week 11 when the Colts played the Patriots. I would probably go with either Wilson here, or I'd probably spend the money on Tom Brady. I don't like either of the visiting quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think Tom Brady is the next guy you want to put in there. Again, a $500 difference between Tom Brady and Russell Wilson is really not that big of a deal. So odds are you're going to be able to work in either of these guys at your disposal. So, look, they're both going to put up points. They're both going to throw the ball. Obviously, Tom Brady's going to throw the ball a lot more than Russell Wilson, but they're both going to score a lot of points, I think, both these teams. The home teams they played hard. They got home field advantage for a reason, and yep, it goes to show why having home field advantage, if you're a great team like the Patriots or the Seahawks this year, why home field advantage is so important.
All right, let's move over to the running back position, and of course, the top two running backs left out of these four teams, Eddie Lacy and Marshawn Lynch. They are the two most expensive running backs on DraftKings. Lynch is actually $1,300 more than Eddie Lacy. Lynch, beast mode, $7,600. Eddie Lacy, $6,300. And then Boom Heron comes in at third, $5,900. And then there is a monster drop-off from everyone after number three. It goes Lynch at $7,600. Eddie Lacy, $6,300. Boom Heron, $5,900. And then a big boom all the way down to $4,500, $1,400 less than the next highest. LeGarrette Blount, Shane Vereen, Jonas Gray, Brandon Bolden. You have four Patriot running backs there, and they range in price from $4,500 to $2,300. But it's simply a matter of not being a big player pool. You don't see a lot of other running backs get in on the action from the Seahawks. Certainly don't see it much from the Green Bay Packers. I don't even see James Starks on this list. I see John Kuhn. Oh, James Starks is $2,000. So there are some cheap options at running backs this weekend. But again, you have to find that gem. You have to find that diamond in the rough here.
I think when we were just talking a few minutes ago about finding that one guy, like we said, Adams last week or Jermaine Kearse last week, the New England Patriots running back, one of these guys is going to have a decent game, and I think that could be the difference for a winning team. Who is it going to be? I don't know. Look, Garrett Blunt, he could score some touchdowns. Shane Vereen is obviously their biggest weapon in the passing game. Now, I bet a lot of people out there are going to use Jonas Gray because of what he did against Indy earlier in the season. Good idea, bad idea? I don't know. He didn't play in that first playoff game last week for the Patriots, so I guess we got to watch up to game time, but he's not going for 204 touchdowns again. That's just not going to happen this week. So the New England Patriots, whoever that running back is that goes off, that's going to be a key in someone's winning lineup, I think.
Remember last week when we were going over the millionaire winner from the divisional round?
Mm-hmm.
We said, wow, look at his running backs. He didn't use any of the top options. He didn't use the DeMarco Murray, the Marshawn Lynch, the Eddie Lacy. He instead, he had Boom Heron. And did he have C.J. Anderson? No, Justin Forsett.
Forsett, yes.
Yeah, so those two running backs that he used were outside of the top four in terms of highest priced. He didn't use Lynch, he didn't use Lacy, he didn't use C.J. Anderson. I guess Justin Forsett was the number four guy. But Boom Heron was, you know, a cheap running back option. He's not that cheap this week, but I'm with you, Ant. I think it's going to be one of those Patriot running backs. And then it could be someone like, it could be someone like Robert Turbin or Christine Michael. All of a sudden, they come in for two or three plays, and they end up scoring on one.
Yeah, maybe Zerlon Tipton has been getting a couple carries the last couple weeks in these playoff games.
Yeah.
Obviously, not using Trent Richardson. So, you know, like we said, there's a lot of backup running backs that are going to be a key for someone to win this week.
Let's jump over to the wide receiver spot. Not Jordy Nelson. Randall Cobb is this week's most expensive wide receiver. What do you think about that?
I saw this the first time when I started messing around with lineups, maybe Tuesday after the show, and I was a little shocked, but when you think about it, it's a $100 difference between the two, so it's not that great. And obviously, if Jordy Nelson is going to be covered by Richard Sherman the whole game, Randall Cobb's going to have a lot more opportunity. So I'm not totally shocked, but a $100 difference, it's kind of like pick your poison at that point.
I think Devontae Adams is going to be the sacrificial lamb here, and he's going to be the one Sherman has locked down most of the game.
You know what? And if that is the case, I think that's great news for the Green Bay Packers. If they get Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb away from Richard Sherman, then that opens that up, and that makes that game a lot more exciting. I mean, if you have Randall Cobb or Jordy Nelson, one of the two, shut down by Richard Sherman the whole game, that definitely limits a high-flying offense like the Green Bay Packers.
Cobb has had 22, 23, and 27 points his last three games. He's either had a touchdown or 100 yards in all three of his last games. So he's certainly been the Green Bay Packers' most productive wide receiver lately. So Jordy Nelson comes in at the second-highest-priced wide receiver. Julian Edelman, T.Y. Hilton, 7,200, 7,000. And then those are the four wide receivers that cost $7,000 or more. Hilton, Edelman, Nelson, and Cobb. And then there's a little bit of a drop-off here. Brandon LaFell at 6,000. Another drop-off. Doug Baldwin at 5,000. Another drop-off. Danny Amendola at 4,500. And then you have a bunch of players that are in that mid-3, low-4 range where you could get lucky with someone. Dante Moncrief, 3,500. Akeem Nicks, 3,200. Jermaine Kearse, 3,800. So they're all within the same ballpark. Could we see Josh Cribbs have a kickoff return or a punt return? $2,000. I don't even want to keep going down this list. It just keeps
going. I know. You get to a point where you're like, maybe someone goes off, and then you're like, I don't know if Brian Walters is going to go crazy this weekend.
Like
I said, I mean, Jared Boykin's down there at that $2,000, which is obviously the floor this week, and they dropped it from $3,000 like normal. But again, Jared Boykin maybe is one guy in that $2,000 range that I could see potentially taking a chance on if they got a lot of four receiver sets. But yeah, once you get below that Akeem Nicks, Dante Moncrief area, it gets fairly sketchy.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. But, okay, so of the big-name wide receivers, let's say you save a little bit of money playing with your running backs. Big names wide receivers. You have four of them here. all over $7,000. Again, I'll give you the names. Hilton, T.Y. Hilton, Julian Edelman, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. Cobb and Nelson are the most expensive, even though they're going up against the top defense. Which running back, if you can pick one of them, which one would you go with?
Out of these top four guys, I think Julian Edelman is my first look. PPR, like we said, obviously factors in. Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb against that best defense, even if they're not matched up on Richard Sherman, that Legion of Boom is still able to shut down people. So that scares me. I like T.Y., but again, if he's stuck with Darrell Revis most of the day, he's got a case of the drop sometimes, so that kind of scares me. Julian Edelman returns. He can get some return points for you if he does break one for a touchdown, catches a lot of passes, and if the Colts decide to play a little bit of Vontae Davis on Rob Gronkowski, that just opens up Julian Edelman even more. So he's my favorite of these top four.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I like that one too. Could you see maybe someone like Danny Amendola replicating what he did last week, had the two touchdowns? Can you see him having another big impact and being another factor in this game against the Colts?
I can't see him being that big of a factor, but you know the Colts are definitely going to have to key in on him after seeing what he did last week, not only catching passes from Tom Brady, but from Julian Edelman. So the Colts are going to be on their toes watching the game film, be ready for something like that. But, you know, once the playoffs come, all the stops are pulled out, and Danny Amendola showed that last week. If he does it again, will I be shocked? No, I just can't see him producing what he put up, like 25 points last week on DraftKings. So at best, maybe in that mid-teens, at 14, 15-type range for a good day for Amendola this week.
And then you already gave your prediction or your sleeper suggestion of Hakeem Nicks. I said Dante Moncrief, but we're both in the same ballpark. We think someone from the Colts could possibly connect on a big touchdown, especially if the Colts are, if the game goes as I think it's going to go, the Colts will be in catch-up mode early on. Is there anyone else in this list that you'd want to absolutely say, you know what, this is who I'm going to roll the dice on this weekend, and here's why?
No, like I said, Nicks would be my guy. Anybody else? Ricardo Lockett of the Seattle Seahawks. It doesn't do a lot, but he does tend to get those deep passes every once in a while. So he'd be another guy, like you said, if you racked up a lot of salary on your quarterback, top defense, a Rob Gronkowski, a tight end, and some good running backs. Ricardo Lockett's another name that's down on that list that I could see taking a chance on.
All right, what do you say we take a quick break? When we get back, we'll jump into the AFC and NFC Championship previews. Again, a lot of action on DraftKings this weekend. Certainly, if you want to win some money playing daily fantasy football, check out ffchamps.com. Check out the action over on DraftKings. We got to take a quick break, but more fantasy football and NFC AFC Championship previews coming up next here on the Fantasy Football Champs.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships. AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years. The first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots. Our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Amendola slot right with Edelman right.
Give it to
Mulligan, Brady. The tight end right. Vereen in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola starts it in motion. Brady takes the snap, rolls right, throws to the end zone, catches Brady! Touchdown! Danny Amendola!
All right, we'll see if Danny Amendola can have another true touchdown performance this weekend, as he did last weekend against the Baltimore Ravens. Two excellent matchups, AFC, NFC championship games, just a few days away. I'm almost happy that the Patriots are the second game this time around, because last week they were the first game. So
yeah.
Now we get to see the Packers and the Seahawks kick off at 3 o'clock, which is kind of weird because they're the West Coast game.
Right, yeah.
But Patriots and Colts, 6:40 p.m. So that must have something to do with, you know, CBS, Fox, who has rights to what game. But I'm happy that the Colts and the Pats are the second game this weekend. Packers, Seahawks, I'll warm up to that game, and then I'll be, you know, in full fan mode Colts by the time the Colts Pats roll around.
You better be at that point. I mean, you don't really have much of a choice after that first game. If you're not all in at that point, man, you're not going to be in at all. So I agree with you, though. I think seeing that Tom Brady, Andrew Luck, great. I that's the game I'm looking more forward to than the Seahawks and Packers is that Colts that Colts Patriots game.
All right, before we get into a preview of each individual matchup, I do want to go through 10 mind-blowing stats for Championship Sunday. You can find it all on NFL.com. Anthony, you and I were discussing some of these during the break. They're pretty incredible. We're going to read through each of them. They all have to do with the AFC or NFC Championship game, or have to do with players in the playoffs. Really interesting stuff here. And we'll start off with Tom Brady, who owns the most postseason starts by a quarterback at 27. The most postseason wins by a quarterback, he has 19. And the most touchdowns in the postseason, 46. So Brady coming in at the number one spot for most postseason wins, most postseason starts, and most postseason touchdowns. Pretty impressive.
It definitely is impressive. And out of all these 10 facts, I mean, as crazy as that is, that's probably the most tame one. I don't think it's really... If you really sit back and think about it, the fact that he's been in the most, has the most starts by a quarterback in the postseason and the most wins, I don't really think that's too shocking, because every year the Patriots are in the playoffs. Every year they're getting the AFC Championship games or Super Bowl, so I'm not shocked about that. But the fact that he's number one in touchdown passes, I guess that's a little bit surprising. You've had a lot of guys playing a lot of playoff games, Peyton Manning, John Elway, Joe Montana, guys like this who, you know, threw the ball around a lot as well. So out of those three facts, I think the touchdown passes might shock me the most, but none of these really shock me too much. But we're about to get into some crazy, crazy stuff now.
All right, here's another one. Cam Chancellor, defensive back for the Seattle Seahawks. He has an interception in his last three playoff appearances. Now, surprisingly, there's 28 other players with three playoff interceptions. But if Cam Chancellor gets one more interception, he will then immediately go to the top of the list. So he'll go from being tied 28 with three to, if he gets one more, four interceptions, will put him at the top of the list with a former New England Patriot, Rodney Harrison, and also Aeneas Williams, who I think is getting into the Hall of Fame, right? Or did he get in last year?
Yeah, just last year he got put in there. And yeah. I was going to say, Cam Chancellor, if he joins these two guys, that is some elite company. Rodney Harrison and Aeneas Williams were two of the best ever at playing in the backfield in that safety position. So Cam Chancellor, a great guy to watch. He's got speed. He's got vision. He's got it all, man. He's a great guy to watch play that safety position. One of the few guys that just comes out there and he can knock your head off, or he can take an interception back 90 yards.
All right, back to the quarterbacks with Tom Brady, this one including Andrew Luck. Through their first 48 games, going back to Brady's, the start of his career, through his first 48 games and now Andrew Luck's first 48 games, they have identical passer ratings, 88.6. Now, Brady had more wins, more completion percentage, better completion percentage. Luck has more passing yards and more passing touchdowns in those 48 games. But the key thing here is Brady came away with two Super Bowl victories in those first 48 regular season starts. Andrew Luck making it to the AFC Championship for just the first time in his career.
Yeah, and Andrew Luck's going to be back in this position multiple times in his career. He's just an absolute stud of a quarterback. Probably the, like I said, the best pocket passer that we're going to see over the next decade or so. And the fact he's got more yards and more touchdowns than Tom Brady, again, not shocking. He does seem to throw the ball a lot more. I think the Patriots had a little more stable run game when he won those first two Super Bowls. But the fact that Tom Brady won two Super Bowls in his first 4 years is just absolutely incredible.
The next one is very interesting because you think about the odds of this, it's really incredible. There have been six times where teams have played against each other in week one and then again in the conference championship game. Six times. This will be the seventh. Every time, the team that won in week one has won the championship game, the conference championship game. Is that nuts?
You know, before we talked before the show and you mentioned about going over these, I was looking at it myself, and this one is the one that popped out to me. I think that is unbelievable. You know, the Seahawks probably had the advantage at home. It's going to be an exciting game, but the fact that I saw this just makes me can the Seahawks lose this game? I don't know. I really don't.
I just think it's incredible that, you know, maybe like five out of the six that won in week one ended up winning the conference championship. But all six of the six have won the conference championship. If they won in week one, that to me, very impressive.
And I think if you lose to a team during the season and you play them again, you kind of have an idea of, all right, this is what they did. We got a little bit more prepared. We can prepare for them better. Yeah, like you said, at least one of these teams should have beat another team in the first six matchups. So it's that blew my mind. That is a mind-blowing stat to me.
We mentioned the sacrificial lamb that was Jared Boykin in the Packers week one matchup. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers did not throw a single pass to Richard Sherman's side of the field. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb were targeted 28 times, but Richard Sherman was not on any of those passing attempts. Sherman has the lowest passer rating allowed in the postseason, and he's only been in the league since 2011. But again, zero targets toward Richard Sherman back when the Packers and the Seahawks played in week one. Here's one of the best stats, I think, in terms of it really shows the quality of a player here.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson has played against Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks nine times throughout his career. Twice against Peyton Manning, twice against Drew Brees, twice against Aaron Rodgers, once against Brady, twice against Eli Manning. All of those opposing quarterbacks have Super Bowl trophies, have Super Bowl rings. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks are 9-0 against Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Wilson in those games, 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a spectacular passer rating of 104.7. Which sounds like a weird FM, light FM station.
Light FM 104.7. Playing Elton John all day. That is unreal. Russell Wilson is a quarterback that's definitely going to thrive in this league. He already has been, and he's only in his third season, and he's going to continue to do so. But the fact that he has not lost a game against guys that at least four of the five guys, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, they're going to the Hall of Fame. And if Eli makes it there, I really wouldn't be shocked either with what he's done in the playoffs. So the fact that Russell Wilson has just, you know, basically dominated against these teams and these opposing quarterbacks is unbelievable.
Obviously, you have to give credit to the defense for
stuff. Right. You know, he's not going out on the field against these quarterbacks, but the fact that, you know,
he's stepping up his level of performance.
That's exactly right. I mean, if Drew Brees drives against him, I mean, Russ Wilson has to match him, and the fact that he can do that and beat these guys at such a young age and still learning the game, unbelievable.
Now, speaking of Russell Wilson and stepping up his performance, he actually has the highest passer rating in playoff history, and Aaron Rodgers is the second highest. Wilson has 109.6, Rodgers 105.3, followed by Bart Starr 104.8, and then Kurt Warner 102.8. In terms of passer rating in the playoffs. So even Russell Wilson, such a young career, but certainly making it happen in the playoffs.
And it's so unbelievable that he is such a highly rated passer in the playoffs compared to these other four guys you said, Rodgers, Starr, and Warner. These other three guys, probably definitely Rodgers and Warner, more offensively balanced teams. And even Bart Starr, I mean, they weren't a huge passing league back then, but he probably had more offensive weapons than Russell Wilson did, too. I mean, Russell Wilson really doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to other than Marshawn Lynch. That offense, as far as talent and game changers, really doesn't exist.
A couple more of these stats to go. Patriot fans, you'll certainly like this one. Tom Brady is 12-4 all-time versus the Indianapolis Colts, including the postseason. Best record by any quarterback taking on Indy.
Yeah, I that just speaks for itself. I mean, Tom Brady, even when he loses to the Colts, it's a close game. It comes down to the end, and it's not necessarily on him. So, Tom Brady, the Colts going into Foxborough, man, it's going to be a tall order for them to come out there and beat Tom Brady.
Two more on this list. It involves T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton, 113 receiving yards per game, is the most receiving yards per game in playoff history. Larry Fitzgerald, second on this list at 105. Hilton is certainly a big play threat, but is getting more involved as a possession move the chains type of receiver. Nonetheless, leads the NFL in yards per game during the playoffs.
Yeah, that's, you know, T.Y. Hilton, man. The first year he was there, you could obviously tell he was just a blow the doors off people, take the coverage off the top type guy, but he's definitely becoming a more polished all-around type receiver, getting into some different things this year. Like I said, more possession. So that's good to see, but, man, again, a guy this young playing with a guy like Andrew Luck, who's mentioned on this list a couple times, both being near the tops of certain categories of their respective positions, the Indianapolis Colts are going to be a fun offense to watch for years to come if these guys stay there.
Kickers are people, too, and they make this list of mind-blowing stats, which, again, you can find at NFL.com. Adam Vinatieri is about to become the most, or is about to have the most playoff appearances in league history. Right now he is tied with Jerry Rice, but he will have played the most playoff games in NFL history this weekend with 30 playoff games. Tom Brady has two less. He's at 28, so this will be 29 for him. He's at 27. This will be his 28th. So he's two behind Adam Vinatieri. And, of course, Patriot fans remember Vinatieri for helping them win those Super Bowls in the early 2000s. Now he's playing for the Indianapolis Colts. But how about that? A kicker will break Jerry Rice's record for most postseason games played.
Yeah, I know, obviously, you know, people make fun of kickers and they don't do as much as, you know, wide receivers, quarterbacks, Jerry Rice, Tom Brady. But for a guy to be playing in 30 playoff games, a guy that's been doing this for 20 years, I mean, Adam Vinatieri's been around in the league close to, unbelievable. And this guy still just, he kicks the hell out of the ball. I mean, this guy hits field goals from 50 yards like it's nothing. So, Adam Vinatieri, good for you. Congratulations.
All right, before we get into our NFC preview of the Seahawks and the Packers, I want to ask Kevin. Kevin, are you around? Can you speak on the microphone real quick or no? So I never know if he's there or not.
All right.
He said he might be on a conference call. But I wanted to see what the schedule was. If the Patriots win this weekend, there's no games next weekend. It's the Pro Bowl.
Right.
I wanted to see if we'd be doing our fantasy 2014 fantasy recap show. If we're going to do that next week, or if we're going to wait 2 weeks, because we might not have a show next week.
That's true.
But I need Kevin to confirm that. All right, so while we're waiting for him, what do you say we jump into our NFC Championship preview? It is the Packers and the Colts. We've been talking about this game throughout the show. Many of us predicted it before the season. Two really good teams. Two teams with Super Bowl rings, Super Bowl winning coaches, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. We mentioned Russell Wilson. Out of all the playoff quarterbacks, he has the best passer rating. He's also 9-0 against other quarterbacks with Super Bowl rings. So it'll be a very interesting game. There's a lot to discuss here. But, Anthony, is the most important stat the fact that the last six times two teams have played in week one and then met again in the conference championship game, the team that won in week one also won the conference championship game?
It has to be. That definitely has to be the biggest factor here. I mean, not only did the Seattle Seahawks beat up the Green Bay Packers week one, it beat them by 20 points, 36-16, but now the Green Bay Packers are coming back to Seattle, which is probably the hardest place to play in the NFL currently. Aaron Rodgers is hobbled. Now we got this Eddie Lacy situation. Again, we don't know what's going on. Could just be rest, but it could be a little bit of something. Richard Sherman shuts down these elite wide receivers that nobody else can slow down from the Green Bay Packers. So it's going to be a lot of work for the Green Bay Packers to go out there and win this game in Seattle.
The Seahawks are the number one rushing team in the NFL.
Yeah.
They're the number 27th passing team in the NFL, while the Packers are the 8th best passing team, 11th best rushing team with the 6th overall defense. But the Seahawks, they're the number one defensive team in this league. And the last couple of times you mentioned it, Anthony, they have really not only shut down the Packers' offense, but their offense, their own offense, has come alive as well. Remember back to the replacement ref game. That was a Hail Mary to, was it Golden Tate?
The old Fail Mary, yeah. I believe it was Golden Tate, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was Golden Tate.
Who didn't catch the ball, but that's not the point.
Right, the fail Mary play with the replacement refs. The Seahawks won that game 14-12, and even then it kind of seemed like, out of nowhere, the Seahawks offense really elevated their game. That was like a last possession drive. So they certainly can put up points against some of these good offenses, teams that they have to put up points against.
Yeah, and that's going to be, it's going to be key for the Seahawks offense to put up points. As good as their defense is, the Green Bay Packers are probably the best offense that they've seen all year this year. I can't imagine them being able to win this game and, finish, a 14-10 type game. They're not going to hold the Packers to a score like that. The Packers are going to put up some points, but, the Seahawks hung 36 the first time they played, so could they do it again? Yeah, they could. The Packers' defense probably got a little bit better since week one, but Seattle's going to have to put some points because they can't rely on their defense to do every single thing for them every single week.
If Aaron Rodgers was 100% healthy in this game, do you think they would have, I don't want to say more of a chance? Because
yeah, they would.
That was a stupid statement on my part. Obviously, they have more of a chance if Rodgers is healthy. But I really want to ask, do you think it would be more of a balanced game in terms of you don't really know who's going to win? Because right now it seems like everyone's on the Seahawks train,
yeah,
and that's who's going to win. It almost seems like the Packers, even though they're a really good team, a lot of people think they don't have a shot. If Rodgers was healthy, do you think more people would be on the train of thought that, you know what, the Packers do indeed have a chance?
100%. They would have to be, and I would be on that same train of thought, the same bandwagon. If Aaron Rodgers is 100% healthy, this game is going to come down to the wire. Again, not saying it can't now, but I would feel more confident saying that if Aaron Rodgers is 100% healthy. Now you're going into a game with a guy who's elite, but if this defensive line can get to him and get some shots in on him, that's going to rattle him. They're the number one rush defense, so Eddie Lacy, they're going to give him the ball, but how much is that going to factor in? And if they can't run the ball and they have to rely on the pass, then you got Richard Sherman covering one of your two best wide receivers at all times. So it's an uphill battle no matter what, but the fact that Aaron Rodgers isn't healthy it makes it a lot tougher.
What do you think is going to be the Packers' one shining glimmer of hope here? It's certainly not going to be, well, our plan is to run over the Seahawks, or our plan is to just, you know, really rely on Aaron Rodgers. Do you think it's maybe something like, well, our defense has to come up with a turnover, our special yeah. teams has to make a play? You think it's maybe something outside of the normal, well, Aaron Rodgers to Jordy Nelson for a couple of big catches?
Yeah, they're going to have to get a short field or two, a turnover or something of that nature to get themselves a short field and get some points on the board. And, a punt return or a kick return for a touchdown would go a long, long way for the Green Bay Packers and take a little bit of pressure off Aaron Rodgers because I just think Aaron Rodgers is going to feel like he has to do it all. And like I said, even if Eddie Lacy's healthy, going against that number one rush defense, I can't see him doing a whole lot against that team. So Aaron Rodgers still has a lot on his plate, a lot of pressure on him, and he's going to have to get this defense to get a turnover or two, a couple short fields, a couple big plays by his special teams to really set him up and help him succeed.
The Packers this year averaged a league best 30 points per game. Number one in the league, 30 points per game. And yet the last two times they played the Seattle Seahawks, they've scored 16 and 12 points.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I just... Some things are an enigma. You get the clash of the two of the best things. One of the best defenses, one of the best offenses. Someone's going to win, and it's Seattle just seems to have the Green Bay Packers offense's number right now.
They're nearly top 10 in every category. Yards per game, passing yards per game, rushing yards per game. They were number one in points scored. Averaged 30 points per game, only 12 and 16 points when they played against the Seattle Seahawks. Now, the Seahawks, again, their offense does get it done. They were 10th in points this year. They were 9th in total yards. They were 1st in rushing. But their passing attack, and even though Russell Wilson is spectacular, even though he has the best quarterback rating in playoff history, even though he can really make a lot of plays with both his arm and his legs, you're not going to see a breakout wide receiver from the Seahawks. That's not their game. Jermaine Kearse last weekend, he had three catches for 129 yards and a touchdown. But it only came off of three catches. I don't think there's anyone on this team that is a 8-catch guy, a 10-catch, a 10-reception type of player. I mean, their tight end had the most receptions last week on anyone out of this roster, and it was only 4.
Yeah.
So the Seahawks certainly do have a formula. They're scoring points. Again, top 10 in points per game. They're in the bottom half. They're in the bottom 5 for passing yards per game. And yet Russell Wilson makes – he's so much more than a game manager. So that's not the phrase I'm going to use. But he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't turn the ball over, which is going to make it really hard for the Packers to get that play they're looking for, to get that fumble recovery in the Seahawk territory, or to be able to, you know, get a strip sack and maybe a pick six or something along those lines, because Russell Wilson just plays so damn good.
Yeah, he's, like you said, not the type of guy that's going to turn the ball over. Very, very smart quarterback. He can run if he needs to, and he doesn't have a great wide receiver, but he does find guys when the time comes for it. When it comes down to crunch time, he's going to find someone open. He's going to do something to help get someone open, and he's going to hit the receiver. So I just imagine what this team would be like if they had a Dez Bryant or Demaryius Thomas type wide receiver. I mean, Russell Wilson might be talked about as the best quarterback in the league at that point because of how dangerous he would be with his legs and a legit passing attack. So, that's something for the future. Maybe it would be fun to watch. But right now, Russell Wilson, I mean, for how young this guy is, just coming in the NFL a couple of years ago, already won a Super Bowl, very well could win another one this year. Unbelievable talent, unbelievable young man, and he's going to be the key for the Seattle Seahawks to win this game again. Just got to stay smart, not turn the ball over, and just keep doing what he's doing.
I really wonder if the calf of Aaron Rodgers is doing better, as the Packers report. You know, is it really better this week compared to last week? I mean, come on, how much could it really have healed?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a tear or a rip in there, who the hell knows? I'm not a doc. We need Dr. Nick to actually get on the line and help us out with this. But
oh, yeah.
I have no idea. I mean, I would think getting some rest would you know, maybe doesn't heal necessarily, but if Rodgers goes out there and feels better himself, it's a mental thing too. I mean, if he feels better mentally, even if he's not physically more healthy, that's definitely a huge factor.
So again, remember, heading into this game, if Cam Chancellor comes away with another interception, he will be tied for first all-time for interceptions during the playoffs. Russell Wilson, we'll see if he can maintain that perfect record against Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks, and we'll see if the trend of six matchups that took place in Week 1 were the same matchups in the conference championships. All the Week 1 winners ended up winning the conference championship. That has happened six times. It is a 6-0 trend. We'll see if that will continue as the NFC Championship game kicks off Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Fox. We're going to take a quick break here on the Fantasy Football Champs. When we get back, though, our prediction for this game, and we'll jump into the AFC Championship game, Patriots and Colts. You're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be our final prediction until we get to the Super Bowl. So stick around. More Fantasy Football Champs coming up next.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Anthony Grace and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of our AFC-NFC Championship Preview. Went over the NFC game, Green Bay Packers and the Seattle Seahawks. Now it's time for us to talk about the Colts and the Pats. Indianapolis versus New England. Patriots versus the Colts. I can't think of any other nicknames for either of these teams that I can put together in a glorious playoff matchup. Can you?
The people and the horses, maybe? I don't really know.
That was terrible.
It was horrible.
At least you tried.
I did. I mean, I'm well aware. It sucked. I didn't want to say it out loud, but I had to give it a shot.
Anyway, the point is, the Pats and Colts have met a lot in the playoffs, mostly during the Peyton Manning era.
We
mentioned that Tom Brady is 12-4 all time against Indianapolis. Let's see. Now, we all remember last year's playoff game. We all remember this year's game with Jonas Gray and his four touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And we all remember when the Patriots beat up on the Colts during Andrew Luck's rookie year. So even though Peyton Manning's no longer there, it still seems like the same old New England Patriot dominance over the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, not much has changed other than a couple players in there. Like you said, no Peyton Manning. Things still really haven't gone the Colts' way when they go up against the New England Patriots. And you know what? I think it's just one of those things where mentally, once you're playing a team a bunch of different times, not a team you see in conference. Obviously, you have in division, you have a lot of chances to beat those teams. But a team you might see once a year or every other year, like matchup like this, it gets in your head. I don't care what people say, it's a mental game as well, and the Colts probably just think it's the Patriots, and they know, even though it's different players, they know deep down inside, like, we don't beat this team. We haven't beat them for a while. It's going to be rough, and it's not going to get any easier, the fact that they're on the road. Maybe if the Colts had home field advantage, you give them a little bit better of a chance, but they need a miracle.
Let's just quickly go over that last game when they played on November 16th. The Patriots won 42-20. Mm-hmm. And I remember being on this show after that game and saying, you know, the Patriots just no other team's weaknesses.
Yeah.
And then they take advantage of it, to the best of their ability. And in that game, it was the Colts' run defense, which has gotten better the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But for Jonas Gray to run for 200 yards and four touchdowns, we're not talking about DeMarco Murray, okay? We're talking about a guy that really hasn't even been active for the last couple of weeks. This isn't some all-world talent, okay? The Patriots have barely been using him the last couple of weeks. So for him to have 200 yards and four touchdowns in that game off 37 attempts, it's just very telling of the Patriots just being able to do whatever they want against the Colts defense, and I think that'll be the case this weekend. That's why I said I liked Tom Brady as my DraftKings quarterback. That's why I agreed with you when you said you liked Julian Edelman out of all those top four wide receivers, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, and T.Y. Hilton. Because I do think the Pats are going to be able to just have their way with the Colts defense. You look at the last three times these teams played, the Patriots have scored 40 and 50 points in three of them.
Yeah. And even the games are not putting up 40 and 50. They're still putting up over 30 virtually every time. So it's going to be tough. Now, if you're the Colts and you're trying to prepare defensively for the Patriots, you got to look at it two ways. One, we're playing Tom Brady, so you know you got to prepare extra hard for a guy like this, a team with Bill Belichick coaching. That makes it tough. But then, like you said, with the whole Jonas Gray, all right, maybe Jonas Gray doesn't come into this game as a factor, but the Colts know they got gashed by the New England Patriots run game last time as well. So it's not like they can really go focus more one way or the other on defense. I mean, they got to shore up that run defense against this team, and they still got to worry about Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman and guys like this going all over the field against them. So it's going to be a challenge for the Colts. They can make a competitive game. Andrew Luck is the kind of quarterback that can score points. He can put points on the board with his team, but it's going to come down to, can this Colts defense at least stop one phase of this New England Patriots offense and kind of make them one-dimensional and have a chance.
The Pats, the last game, November 16th, Week 11, 42-20. This time last year in the divisional playoff game for the AFC, Patriots won 43-22. Again, 40 points for the Patriots, 20 points for the Colts. Let's see if this trend continues. The last time, or the first time Andrew Luck played against the Pats, November 18th, 2012, 59 points scored by the Patriots, 24 points scored by the Colts. So in each of the last three meetings with Andrew Luck under center, the Colts have been able to muster up a total of 24 points or less, 24,
yeah.
22, and 20, while the Patriots have scored 59, 43, and most recently 42 points against Indianapolis. So certainly to say that the – you know, a lot of people last week were saying the Ravens had the Pats number. It's the opposite in this case.
Yeah.
The Pats have the Colts number.
100% agree. And you know what? You look at those numbers, and it obviously scares you more about the Colts defense. I mean, Andrew Luck averaging, 22 points a game against the Patriots. Look, it's not huge numbers, but 22 points isn't bad if your defense can, you know, be semi-decent and hold another team to around that 20 point, then, you know, you got a game at the end. But the fact that the Colts defense just lets the New England Patriots and Tom Brady just do whatever they want to them in these last couple of games, especially Andrew Luck's career, that's a tough pill to swallow.
It certainly is. And to think that Andrew Luck had one interception in this past game in Week 11 and then threw, I think, three in the playoff game last year, and then two for pick sixes when he was a rookie. That's been his biggest problem. I mean, did he have one or two interceptions last week against Denver? He's still making,
yeah,
even though he's an incredible quarterback already at such a young point in his career, he's still making a lot of mistakes when it comes to protecting the football. Yeah, he had two interceptions last week. And the Pats, you can't turn the ball over against the Patriots. That's one of the things that Coach Belichick preaches. Whoever wins the turnover game is going to have a much better success rate. So Andrew Luck still battling a turnover problem. Patriots certainly capitalizing off turnover. So it's going to be an interesting game to see if Luck can correct some of those mistakes he's made recently.
Yeah, again, he's still a young guy. He's still going to make a couple of mistakes. But the Patriots are just a team that scheme better than almost every other team in this league. Bill Belichick is a guy that I mean, him and Tom Brady probably just live in a film room. They know what's going on. They know they've played Andrew Luck, and they're probably in there watching film about him right now to get more information, and that's just that's what it takes. If a team like the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick worry about someone like Andrew Luck, then you know he's got to be a special talent. So, you know, one of these days, Andrew Luck is going to beat the New England Patriots. Will it be with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? I don't know. Will it be this week? I don't know. But one of these days, he's going to get that monkey off his back, and we're going to be talking about something different. But until that point, Andrew Luck's got to go into Foxborough this weekend and say, I can't turn the ball over. I got to give my chance, my team a chance to win. So if he can prevent the turnovers, not throw the ball to the New England Patriots, they have a chance. But it's going to be tough. I can't see Andrew Luck not throwing an interception to the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I think the turnover is almost a given at this point.
Yeah, it's almost like you're going in there saying, all right, he's going to give us at least one. Let's make the most out of it. And like I said, that first career game against Patriots, that's two pick sixes that he threw. If he throws one of those, that's devastating for a team, especially when you're on the road.
The last time he finished the year with 16 interceptions. And of his last, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games, he had so after the bye week in week 10, the Colts bye week, came back against New England, threw an interception. Then he had no interceptions against the Jaguars, no interceptions against the Tennessee Titans. Now that's the Jags and the Titans, two of the worst teams in the league.
Let's not celebrate it.
Right. Two of those 7 games, he didn't have interceptions. They came against the Jaguars and the Titans. In 5 of those 7 games, he had one or more interception, one INT against the Redskins, 2 picks against the Browns, 1 pick against the Texans, and then 2 interceptions against the Cowboys. So again, 2 of those 7 games, yeah, he didn't turn the ball over, but it was against the Jags and the Titans.
Yeah, and again, that's not impressive. I mean, if you look down his stat lines for what he's done in his career, I mean, he's thrown a pick virtually every single game. And again, I know it's he's a young guy. I know he doesn't have the greatest weapons. He does not have the greatest offensive line in the league. But it's one of those things where it's got to start trending down, and you have to start going games continuously without throwing interceptions. I mean, in 3 years, he's played 48 games. He's got 2 instances where he's had back-to-back games without an interception. Other than that, he's thrown one every game. So that's just it's a trend he has to quit, and it's not gonna start this weekend.
You don't think he has good weapons in Indianapolis?
I like T.Y. Hilton. I mean, is he my favorite receiver? No, I think he's good. I don't think he's necessarily a top 10 receiver in the league right now, but I like his tight end situation. His running backs, again, it's sketchy because we don't know everything about it. If Ahmad Bradshaw was playing right this week, I like the Colts a little bit more than I do right now. I mean, not that Boom Heron's not looking good, but he's not Ahmad Bradshaw. He doesn't have the experience. Ahmad Bradshaw played with the Giants. He's played against the New England Patriots in the playoffs. He knows what it takes to beat them in the playoffs. That's an X factor that Andrew Luck doesn't have this week at his disposal. So there's a few things, I don't like about him, but it's just, I don't know. He just, those turnovers are what's going to kill him.
Yeah, that's gonna be the problem, and it always is with this matchup, right?
It is.
You know, it always seems like that's why I've been saying it throughout the show. It always seems like the pack, Andrew Luck is in catch-up mode against the Patriots.
Yeah,
it's early too, early.
Yeah, after the first quarter, if you have to play catch-up after the first quarter of a game, that's not a good sign for you. And the fact that, like we said, he's had 3 career games against the New England Patriots, and he's thrown 8 interceptions, that does not bode well.
I like the fact that last year in the playoffs, it took like 2 – I want to say there were like really long plays. It was the 2 plays to Levon Brazil.
Yeah.
It was the 2 really long touchdowns to keep them in that game, but that was it. I mean, that was really all they did throughout that contest.
Yeah, and they still got drubbed. So, you got lucky with a couple deep touchdowns to Levon Brazil. I mean, again, outside of that, He had two pick sixes in that game. Or not, I'm sorry, not that game. But he had four turnovers in that game. Four interceptions, I believe. So, Andrew Luck, come on, man. You got to – if he cuts down on those turnovers this week, again, we're talking about a totally different type game. But even, you know, he's turned the ball over three, four times a game and they're losing by 21. Cut that down to one interception. Then maybe you got a one score or a 10-point game on your hands coming down to the end. And again, that would be more exciting for everybody. I can't see the Patriots losing this game, but I'd rather see a game where it comes down to, you know, maybe the Patriots are up seven, but Andrew Luck has the ball with a chance to drive down. Not going to happen, not going to drive on a defense that's experienced and knows what's going on, but it would make it for a lot more excitement.
I'll tell you what, the Patriots have something that they have. They just know that their rushing attack, whoever, I'm telling you, the DraftKings winner will have like a Brandon Bolden in their lineup or a Garrett Blunt in their lineup, because Jonas Gray had four touchdowns last year in November, and then last year LeGarrette Blunt had four touchdowns and Stephen Ridley had two.
Yeah.
Six rushing touchdowns.
Unreal. Unreal. Isn't that amazing, the fact that Tom Brady can go in there
and not do anything. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying.
We're being facetious. Not do anything.
Didn't have to be Tom Brady, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't have to go in there and say, look, we got to make a comeback. Look, I gotta find open receivers. I gotta get the ball downfield and make a drive. No, hand the ball off, and every time he hands the ball off, it seems like one of his running backs was getting into the end zone last year.
It's crazy.
So, again, if they have a performance like that where they can run the ball, I mean, that kills the Colts more than anything, because, again, you know what Tom Brady brings to the table. You know what you have to prepare for him. But in that running game, like you said, last year in the playoffs, LeGarrette Blunt went wild. This year, Jonas Gray went wild. It could be Brandon Bolden this week. It could be LeGarrette Blunt again. It could be Shane Vereen. Who knows? But odds are one of these running backs is going to have a pretty good game against the Colts.
That just solidified it for me. I'm going to use Brandon Bolden in DraftKings.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be Jonas Gray, and I don't think it's going to be LeGarrette Blunt.
Yeah, I Jonas Gray is the one guy out of those four that I really don't want anything to do with on the DraftKings situation, because he just dominated against them last time. So, I mean, LeGarrette Blunt tends to have his bigger games, and obviously that was his biggest game with the Patriots last year. So maybe he steps up again. Maybe he feels confident in playing these Colts again and knowing he's virtually playing the same team, and he feels confident saying, I can go in there and put up another 150-plus yards and a couple touchdowns.
Wasn't on this team when they played back in Week 11. He's still on the Steelers.
Yeah, that's right. So
he might have got cut that week.
It was right around then.
Yes, it was.
Right in that three-quarters of the way through the season type deal.
Yeah. All right, so prediction time. We've analyzed both of these games, AFC Championship, NFC Championship. Packers and the Seahawks are up first. I think we should give our predictions for this game.
All right, who's going to Super Bowl? Let's do this.
All right, from the NFC, Kevin Collins, you got your microphone on?
I do.
All right, who do you got?
I'm going to take the Seattle Seahawks.
Very nice.
Go against my preseason prediction of the Patriots and the Packers.
Against your preseason prediction?
And go with the Hawks.
Now, why would you do that to yourself?
Because conditions on the ground have changed, Bill.
You have the opportunity to look like a genius.
Rodgers is hurt. Seattle's rolling. Nobody wants. No, I don't. I'm not buying it. I don't think there's any way Green Bay wins this game. I'll be stunned.
You have the chance to say, not only was I right in the championship prediction, but I made my preseason prediction, and it came true. Now you're just totally throwing all that.
Yep, I'm throwing it away, Bill.
Swagger you have out the window.
Rubbish.
Rubbish. Right. Now, Kevin, let me ask you. Just said you would be stunned. Would you be more shocked if Green Bay wins or Indianapolis wins?
Green Bay.
Wow, that's bold, my friend.
Yep,
that's bold.
Bold. That's what I am. It's my middle name, actually.
But that's correct. I like that. Your mom was creative.
You leave Mrs. Collins out of this.
She's a wonderful woman.
She's a saint.
She's a saint. Oh, man, I agree with you, though. It's going to be real tough for the Green Bay Packers to go in there and beat the Seattle Seahawks team.
Banged up quarterback. I don't
yeah.
like it. I don't like
yeah.
it.
I think Seattle wins this game. I'm not sure if it's a 20-point drubbing like it was week one, but I think even if it's a close game on the scoreboard, I think it's less close on the field.
I feel like it could be close for a bit, and then Seattle will go up by like 10, and all of a sudden the roof will cave in.
It's a different game, and that crowd up
there
crowd
gets going
insane. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I feel like they have. I feel like the Packers should just not even bother getting off the bus. As much as I want to play them in the Super Bowl, I don't just pack it in, you know.
I agree.
Hit the hot tub, hit the shower, you know. Get back to Green Bay early on that flight home because you're the early game, you know. I don't know. Line up your tee times in Boca for Tuesday morning. You won't get there Monday probably because you got to clean out your locker. But
that'd be tough, yeah.
You know, Tuesday's viable. What do you think, Bill?
I'm gonna pick the Packers. That was my preseason prediction. I'm gonna stick
with
it.
That's fine. I mean, again, it's one of those things where Green Bay was my NFC.
Be a Packer. I think I always will be a Packer.
Who was that, Brett Favre?
Was.
Yeah, Brett Favre.
He's a Packer, all right.
Yeah, God. I hate him. It's not the point. Look, Green Bay, I picked them to get to the Super Bowl before the season started, too. Seattle, like you said, Bill, they played down in the beginning of the year, and now they're hitting their stride, and they've been here, and they've been to Super Bowls, and they beat the Denver Broncos, the best offense of all time last year in the Super Bowl, and just completely made them look like garbage. So if you're playing it at home against Green Bay, against an Aaron Rodgers who's not 100% healthy, you got swagger. Swagger.
But also they're peaking at the right time.
They certainly are.
And that's a huge part of this whole equation.
Great.
Yeah, and that's a huge part of this whole equation, Bill.
But you know what? I took the Panthers last week.
I like it, Bill.
I'm taking the Packers this week.
Ballsy play.
The Seattle Seahawks will not be in Super Bowl 49. No back-to-back opportunities.
If you're right, Bill,
Seattle.
I'll be a very happy man.
Why? You'd rather play the Packers?
I would.
I'd agree with that.
What you wish for, Kev?
No, I'm not saying that it would be a layup by any stretch, Bill, but I'm just saying I do not want to play. I don't think anyone in their right mind would want to play Seattle at this
stage.
Don't
you think Packers-Patriots is a better game?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it's a cool, like a more exciting
game. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that the first time the two teams played in Green Bay this year was a hell of a game where the Patriots had a chance to win.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd love to see that. And I think it also happens to be the matchup that would give the Patriots the best chance to win out of the two potential opponents.
Anthony, you're going with the Seahawks?
I am.
I'm going with the Pats.
Do we have an update about who's been how we've been doing so far?
I have no idea.
What, playoffs?
Yeah.
Playoffs? Yeah. Kevin, 6-2. You and me, Bill, are 5-3.
Playoffs?
All right, so we're all one game difference.
Yep.
Kevin's we're all right there. It was close.
So I'm going Seattle and I'm going Pats, the two home teams.
I think all of us are going Pats unless Anthony has a trick up his sleeve.
Yeah, like he went Baltimore last week. Yo, hoser.
Baltimore, Dallas, and...
And Indy last week.
Yeah, what you got for us, Ant?
Hey, look, and let's be honest about last week, that Baltimore-Dallas game, both could have won those
games.
They
could have, but they didn't.
They
did not.
If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, then every day would be Christmas.
I get Bill, that laugh was just like the gold member.
I'm your Faja.
It's father. No, yeah, the Patriots are going to win this game. I think if... For the Colts to win this game, I mean, everything possibly in the universe has to line up for them perfectly to win this game. I can't see them doing it. The Patriots have their number. They're at home. Tom Brady has a lot more experience in this situation. Andrew Luck has none. Everything lines up for the New England Patriots to win this game. So, yeah, I think the Pats go to the Super Bowl as well.
Let me ask you this. Will Tom Brady score a touchdown this weekend or throw a touchdown this weekend? He has in the last two games against the Colts.
Yeah, he's going to.
Yeah, he'll have a touchdown this weekend?
He's going to. He's definitely going to throw a touchdown. Maybe this is the week he actually goes off. Maybe the Colts are just prepping for that run game because, like you said, four touchdowns each of the last two times they played on the ground. Maybe this is when they feel like they got to bulk up against the run and Tom Brady has himself one of those 300 and four touchdown type games that he could have.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? He did have a touchdown in Week 11. My bad.
But just one.
He had two of them.
He had the game winner.
Yeah, the game winner. No, it wasn't a game winner. What are you talking about? He blew him out 42-20.
Oh, I thought you were talking about last week.
No. Right. I meant last year, the Patriots scored six touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
From Stephen Ridley and LeGarrette Blount.
Yep. Act not opinion.
So I'm saying, you know, is Brady going to need to throw a touchdown this weekend? But he had one. He had two of them Week 11. Yeah, we're all taking the Patriots here. Who was that?
That was me.
Tired, Kev?
Yeah, I'm real tired.
Long week?
It's been a long year.
How was the call with the NFL?
It's going good. We apparently Arizona, the state of Arizona, is against like ISDN lines, which is going to throw a wrench in my monkey.
Oh, good luck with that.
I don't know. So I might have to use the same technology you and Ant have.
Well, I actually just got approved for my hotel and my media pass.
Congrats, Bill. That's great news.
I don't know if I'm
so
gonna go.
If the Patriots are fortunate enough to win on Sunday, I might see you out there.
Maybe.
We'll just get weird together. Just rap.
I mean, we'll obviously have a lot of fun, but I don't know.
Just get weird.
I don't know if I'm going to go.
I will why
wouldn't
not
you,
be there.
Why wouldn't you go, Bill Enright?
Why wouldn't I go?
Yes. Just too much like of a headache or?
Yeah.
You got
house,
big plane.
Married,
oh, that makes sense. You gotta spend time with the missus.
No, just a lot of it's a lot happening right now in my life.
Really?
A lot going on, Kev.
That's good
making
news.
Moves, dude. Making moves.
That's good news.
Yeah, it's excellent news.
So I won't. I mean, I'd obviously, for selfish reasons, love to see you out there, but I'll understand if you can't accompany me.
Yeah, no doubt. What I wanted to ask you is, let's just work under the assumption that the Patriots are going to win this game.
Correct.
Do we have shows next week?
We do.
We have two shows.
Yes, the 20th and the 22nd, I think.
And then that would be it for the year.
And then that'll do it. Yep.
So next Thursday would technically
would
be our last
show.
Yep,
we would be able to give our Super Bowl predictions and all that
stuff. Right, next Thursday.
Yes.
And then maybe if the Patriots end up
But if the Patriots
Bowl,
are fortunate enough, knock on wood, to end up going to the Super Bowl and you were to be out there,
maybe
I'm sure
I'll
we would
stop by.
Yeah, I'm sure we would incorporate you into a broadcast or two during the week.
Yeah, we'll,
if you can fit us into your
maybe a segment.
Yeah, that's
maybe
what I'm saying.
Not,
but a segment of one of
segment.
Our broadcasts.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what I'm saying.
That'd be cool.
If you could incorporate us into your busy schedule with all these big things popping.
I mean, I gotta check with some of my model friends like Kate Upton and Chrissy Teigen. I gotta see what they're up to first.
That sounds right.
You know,
that sounds right.
They got priority Super Bowl week from Bill Enright.
Interesting. How does your future to be Mrs. feel about that?
Oh, she loves them. She thinks they're both
really.
Quarters.
She's into that. She swings both ways.
Yes,
that's good. I like that. You found a good one.
I'm lucky like that.
You found a real good one, Bill. You hang on to her.
Chrissy Teigen and Kate Upton. Yeah. All right. I think we got to wrap up today's show. Big weekend of football. AFC Championship. NFC Championship. Hopefully, we'll be back here next week.
Yeah. Pray to God.
All of us predicted the Patriots are going to win. If that's the case, we'll be back next Tuesday.
No deserter in Anthony Grace this week.
Yeah, thank God. He's on the team.
I'm telling you what, if Baltimore hung on and won last week, there was going to be hell to pay.
Understandable. I didn't want it to happen. I'm just saying what I thought was going to happen. But listen, we'll be back next week, baby. Patriots are getting to that Super Bowl again.
All right, Kevin Collins, final thoughts?
Just pray for me on Sunday. Just pray for me.
I always try to look for you.
Dude, I'm there all the time. You don't understand how many screenshots I get of myself during a game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people.
I never see you.
People freeze frame their TVs on the DVR and take a picture of it and then send it to me.
I try to do that.
I'm just waiting to get rolled. When you see me, Bill, it'll be of me like getting blown up or rolled up on and tearing both ACLs or something like that. I can't wait for that to happen. But just
enjoy
pray.
The game.
If this
game,
thing
guys.
Goes, if it goes like. If we're talking 17-3, 14-0 Indy at any point, I'm just saying, if at any point during the game that's what we're talking, just immediately mute the TV and start saying Hail Marys and Our Fathers for me.
All right, we'll be sure to do that.
Thank you.
Enjoy the game. It's supposed to be a lot warmer this week, right, compared to last week?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a heat wave, like 40 degrees
nice.
Or something like that.
All right.
I'll be out there in the 40. Speedo on the sideline patrolling.
There you go.
Love it. Have fun at the game. I want to thank you for all the great work you did. On behalf of Anthony Grace and the rest of the Fantasy Football Champs, we want to thank you for listening to our broadcast on Patriots.com radio. Enjoy the AFC and NFC Championship games this weekend, and go Pats!
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.